Well, this morning I want to kind of move us closer in this season of November into a time of just being mindful of all that God has done for us, despite whatever may be going on in our life. And I know we often get distracted by that, don't we? We fall into the trap of always seeing what we don't have or what is missing or what we lack. And we tend to, out of that, sometimes fail to see what God is doing or what God has yet for us. I was reading this week as I was getting ready. It was kind of an interesting thing. And I'm just kind of a little bit, this is a little bit of a jump out. But in the book of 2 Timothy, he's talking about the end times. And I'm not suggesting that we're in the end times or anything like that. But it was one of the things that Timothy, that in the end times, these things, this would be a mark of those times. That people, in fact, do I have it up on my screen? Go ahead and go to it right now. There you go. That people would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I kind of laughed at that one. It's not just in the end times. That's been always. I got a hunch. but get this. In the end times, these would be marks of things that were going on. The people would be ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lover of the good, but treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then Paul wrapped it up by saying, having the form of godliness, but denying its power. So it is clear what Paul is talking about here. It's not just the world out there and how awful the world is, but he's talking about this is what's going to begin to take place even within the church, having the form of godliness and yet denying its power because of all the things, all these self-centered attitudes that would be flowing out. These would be marks of the end times. And as I looked at that idea that ungrateful, make that bigger, there we are. That idea that how is that? Because this is a Hall of Fame list, isn't it? Hall of Fame list of bad characteristics. Now, some of you are sitting, if you're giving elbows to your spouse, you know, be careful. You know, this is a Hall of Fame list of bad characteristics. And right there in the middle of it is being ungrateful. And to be honest with you, I mean, let me be honest, let me be human, let me be real. A good bit of my life, I'm walking around not being very thankful. A good part of my life, I'm either busy or distracted or consumed. I'm upset, things are wrong, and somebody else is wrong. And all of a sudden, I have all this other cloud going on around me, and thankfulness just seems to have flown the coop. Again, I'm not suggesting that we're living in the end times, but I am suggesting that all of us need to be aware of these character traits and where we can begin to tune our heart to be more Christ-like, to be more in line with the Holy Spirit. We need to be doing those things. And so today I want to focus on this idea of ungratefulness, but actually take it from a positive spin and say, how is it that we begin to develop, to grow a culture of gratitude? And in our hearts, how do we begin to grow a heightened sense of awareness of all that God has done for us? You know, that's really hard for us, and especially I think at this time in our history, it seems like there's just in the last couple of years, just with all the pandemic stuff and all the division and all the divisiveness and all that's gone on, all the fears and everything that is out there. You know, there's underlying, I think we all feel it. And I think many of us feel this challenge to thriving, either even if we're going through just normal experiences or maybe we've had even, you know, challenges, griefs, and what have you that have come that have just amplified this time that we're living through. But there's just an underlying, there's a fear lurking around. There's an uncertainty in us that leads to us feeling like we're constantly on edge. Maybe this is you, maybe it's not. I bet it is. Because there's a sense just of dis-ease, isn't there? There's something wrong. There's something out of place. We feel out of joint. We feel out of step. And when we do this, we always feel the sense of not being able to be settled, not having any sense of peace. And from that, then there's a sense just we begin to fall into this sense of anger. Our patience runs short. We begin to feel there's always something anxious that keeps us on the edge. Maybe you're struggling with a sense of depression. You're having a hard time getting going, not finding joy in things as much anymore because there's just that sense of cloud, that darkness that just doesn't seem to have a real identity, but it's just there. That's kind of how I think a lot of us are feeling. And I think because of that, I think this makes this message today all the more important for us, because what we're going to be dealing with here is how to begin to undo that complaining nature that we have and begin to set us free from that, because complaining is not the answer. You know, when there are things wrong, we go around, what we tend to do is we begin to identify the things that are wrong. We begin to go around and blame people for the things that are wrong. And that may be all fine and good. That may be true, but it doesn't do us any good. I mean, think about it, just in the world of politics. The Democrats blame Trump and the Republicans for the mess we're in. Is it any less of a mess? No. The Republicans blame the Biden administration and the Democrats for the mess that we're in. Is it any less of a mess? No. But we all feel better, right? When we can blame somebody else. When we can throw our anger at somebody else, we feel somehow justified. But it doesn't make the situation any better. You know, it might be able to, you know, beating on that drum may be able to be a way that some people are able to acquire power or influence. But for us, when we beat on that drum, all that it does is raise our blood pressure and diminish the love we have for the one God, the ones God calls us to love. Because we fall into that trap of looking for the bad guy. We fall into that trap of looking to shift the blame onto somebody else. And all of a sudden, instead of being able to love, we're looking around for someone to be our scapegoat. So, what I would like to suggest today as we open up the scriptures and look at this pattern, what if instead of looking for the world through this lens that we tend to always look through, what's wrong, what's missing, what we don't have, what if we flip the script? And what if we flip the script so that we looked at the world more through a biblical lens? I believe this is what God has for us and what he wants for us to be able to do, to be able to be happier, to be more fulfilling if we are able to pay a little bit more attention. And so we're going to move to a passage of scripture that is our jumping off place. And I want to look briefly today at a pattern and talk about some exercises that we can begin to do today to open ourselves up to that happiness, that fulfillment that we desire, but we get trapped in this worldly cycle of complaining and blaming. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. In fact, before I read this, I know you're probably reading ahead of me already. Let me read the few couple of verses prior to it. I'll just read them out for you. Where Paul is encouraging the church, I want to urge you, brothers and sisters, to warn those who are idle and disruptive, but also not to get upset, to get mad when there are people who are weary or worn down or broken around you. He says, rather encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. You don't hear divisiveness in here, do you? You don't hear griping and complaining in this, do you? No, because he says that's not going to be the attitude that's going to take you forward. It's going to be a trap for you. You think this makes you feel better. You feel justified or right, but it doesn't really set you free. It entraps you. So in verse 16, he continued on and he said, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hear that. We want to know what God's will is for us. We want to know what would not only please God, but would be absolutely the very best thing for us. What did he say it was? It was being thankful in all circumstances. Now, you're probably wondering, wait a minute, that can't be done in all circumstances? You know, some circumstances are rough. Some circumstances are difficult. Sometimes the world is just dark around me. But we're invited to something, and this is, again, it doesn't seem possible. This is where we need our way maker to make a way for us, to open this up for us. And the Bible is filled with this and patterns of this. I will point you a couple. In Psalm 30, if you were to take out your Bible and you want to look at Psalm 30, it is a powerful psalm. It goes on like this. It talks about God's deliverance, what he has done for me. And so it talks about a good time. There were bad times before, but good things are now here. Hear these words. I will exalt you, Lord, for you have rescued me. You refuse to let my enemies triumph over me. And the psalm goes on about this story of how God has come and redeemed and helped and showed up, answered a prayer, got it all done. It concludes in verses 11 and 12 with this. You have turned my mourning into a joyful dance. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Now, okay, I said all circumstances, and I jump right into the good circumstance. It's easy, isn't it, to give thanks when things are going good? When your team has just scored the winning touchdown, right? Everyone celebrates because all life is as it should be. My team just won. Or maybe it's in a situation in your life. There's been a difficult patch, but you have come through and you saw God do it and you say, thank you. But what about when we're in the midst of those places? What about when we're struggling with the darkness or struggling with that issue? We don't know how it's going to come out. Can we still be thankful in the midst of that? This becomes the hard part. And I would point you to, just go back, if you have your Bible open to Psalm 30, go back to Psalm 28. This too is a wonderful psalm, and it picks up this very same theme. But you'll hear it just in the psalmist's words. He is not on the other side of the hard time. He is in the middle of the hard time. Here it is. I jumped over my place here. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Did I jump ahead? I did. I pray to you, O Lord my God, do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. Have you ever been there? You're at that place where you say, I might as well just call it quits. What's the point? I can't fight any longer. I can't even dream or hope anymore. If God doesn't come through, I'm done. That's not a nice place to be. That's a hard place to be. And yet throughout this psalm, it talks about that struggle through the difficult places. And yet the psalmist winds up at the end of this psalm in verses 6 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield, even in that place where I am ready to give up and die. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. Even in that place where I have no more strength, even in that place where I have no more hope, I trust him with all my heart. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. And I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. So in good times, it says that we respond with thanks. And in bad times, it says we respond with thanksgiving. Yeah. There is something going on here that the psalmist is not naive to the struggles of our world, but he says it is in all these places we can find that God is at work, even if we haven't yet seen it. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. That song that you guys did today, oh my gosh, I was crying over here singing. This is what it's about. Friends, if you didn't hear a thing today, as long as you heard that song that Lorraine Annette did, that would be all we need to know. And out of that place of knowing that he is and he will, even when we don't feel it, he is still at work. There we can begin to have thankfulness come back into our life because God is still on our side. And that is what we need to hear today, because happiness is not going to be the accumulation of all the things we want. For all of you who are still trying to get everything in your life to line up just the way you want it to be, and you know that when it finally gets there, you'll finally be happy. Let me tell you, stop trying. that's not going to be where your answer was, because first off, you'll never get to be there. And even if it does get all those things you think you want, you won't be happy in that. This is what happiness is. Happiness is not getting what you want, but it is appreciating what you have. That is going to be the core. That is going to be the core of who we are. And if we can come to that place of saying that, I'm not going to be striving after this or after that. I'm not going to be complaining when things don't go my way. I'm simply going to be appreciating what God has given me. And even like in that Psalm 28, in the midst of the darkness where I'm ready to die, I'm still giving God thanks because he is there and he is my strength. He is holding me in his arms as my heart is placed in those arms. This becomes key for us because otherwise we get caught in our own trap of thinking that happiness is elusive because we're not getting what we want. So we need to begin to move out of this idea of complaining about what we don't have. We are habitual complainers, maybe some of you more than others, but all of us complain, and it becomes into that cycle of complaining because we don't like how things are, and because we don't do that, or because we do that, we entrap ourselves in that cycle. So the only way to begin to break it is to choose instead to be thankful. We've got a few weeks until Thanksgiving arrives. I'm going to offer you some ideas to maybe set some patterns, some new patterns as we move into this season, and invite you to consider one or more of these. First one is, I would suggest, is make a daily list. Maybe pick five things. You can be the same five things every day. That's fine. Or you can pick out new things each and every day. But start a list. Get a piece of paper. Get a tablet. Write them down. Put them on your computer, put them in your phone, in your memo pad, whatever. Do something that says, I'm going to note at beginning of my day, middle of my day, end of my day, whenever it works for you, take a time to be intentional about recognizing five things you're thankful for. Do that. Because intentionally being thankful is going to be part of this idea of being mindful. The thing you might want to do, some people, I hear someone actually, Pastor Linda, the Baptist Church, has this. At 3:16 in the afternoon every day, she has an alarm on her phone. I've been a couple times in meetings with her, and at 3:16, that darn alarm goes off. I think, who's calling you? Oh, that's right, Jesus. She chose 3:16 in the afternoon to remind her of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And so at that moment, every day, she gives thanks for God's grace to her, that he would give Jesus for her, that he would love her through Jesus, and that she would have salvation through Jesus. Every day at 3:16, I hear that darn alarm go off. Now, I don't hear it every day, but every day I'm with her at 3:16, I hear that alarm go off, and that's her prayer. We take a moment, we pray. A prayer of thanks. Pick a time. When would it be a good time to break into the just crowded busyness of your day to remind you of your goodness, of God's goodness? And say a prayer of thanks. Number three, catch yourself on this. Whenever you start to complain, replace that complaint with a compliment. This would be hard, especially if you're talking to somebody, you know, a live human being, maybe someone who lives in your house. And when you're ready to start a complaint, you catch yourself and you say, boy, dear, that was just an awesome request. Yes. Thank you for pointing that out, because if you hadn't pointed that out, I would go out into my day and probably embarrass myself. Instead of saying, would you stop picking on me and stop nitpicking at me? Oh, darn wife of mine. But this becomes the challenge. Yes, I know. Yeah, you and me both, Scott. Complaint comes second nature for all of us. Compliment is harder. And so when that complaint comes out, that becomes the key that, okay, not going down that track. It's not helpful to them. It's not helpful to me. It's not glorifying to God. And look for a way to turn it into a compliment. Find a way. Begin to change that pattern. And finally, I'm going to call it, this is my Nike. Just do it. Say thanks. Whether it be talking to someone that you appreciate something about them, or talking to someone that you want to just say, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful that I have a job. I'm thankful it's a beautiful day. I'm thankful. a wife to be nitpicked by from time to time. Because I know we are. I'm in trouble now. Because it makes me better. So thank you. But that's, just do it. You know, we tend not to. We say, okay, it's no big deal. I mean, I'm happy about it, but I'm not going to say anything about it. Make it intentional. Make it part of who you are. And you will notice this, that as you begin to be more thankful and more overtly thankful and saying it to other people, appreciating them or appreciating things and telling them about what you appreciate, you begin to change the atmosphere in the room, in the home, in the business, that there is a sense of gratitude can become contagious if we are willing to strike that first match and let it begin to burn. There's something that we are called to, and it is to live this life of being thankful, because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to be thankful in every circumstance. This morning, we're going to wrap up with this couple of ideas. Idea one is going to be this, that as we take some of these ideas out, we're going to do an exercise of thankfulness right now. It's called Holy Communion. This is something that Jesus established 2,000 years ago. The church has been doing it for all this time. And for this purpose is to be a reminder to us that no matter what may be going on, no matter how limited our ability to sense or feel God's moving, He is still on our side. And that's what that little cup and that little wafer are going to represent for us today. That so much so God is on our side, that Jesus died, gave His body and His blood for you and for me. This is something that should not only be a habit of ours, but it should be a spark for our thankfulness. So whatever may be going on, maybe you walk through a dark time, maybe you're walking through a great time, but this is the point to say, I can be thankful that God is on my side. And so we'll take that and we'll do it. Then finally, we'll do this other aspect. And that is, again, I will invite Annette to come back. She will lead us in a song. Not yet, Annette. I want to do our communion first, but I'm going to say, but worship is a reminder to us as well. That's why we gather every week. Not because you haven't heard these songs before, but because we are called to be reminded that we are made to worship. And because of what God has done for us, we can worship Him out of a thankful heart. And so worship should also be a place of reminding us and changing the way we think. So we're going to start this idea of changing the way we think today with communion. Again, remember, there's a little cellophane tab on top that opens up the wafer, and then there's a little foil tab that opens up the juice. So maybe one at a time. Otherwise, you might have a little mess. But the wafer is to remind us that on the night which Christ was betrayed, He took the bread and He gave it to His disciples. And He said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of God's act and Christ's love for you, the body of Christ, let us receive it. And in the same way, at the conclusion of the meal, Jesus took the cup. He blessed it and He offered it to His disciples, saying, "And this is the cup of the new covenant, the cup of my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." That we are to do this in remembrance of Him as well. So, Father, for this cup that we are about to receive, and for what it means to us that our sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Thank you that we are clean, made pure, even in our faultiness, even with all of our foibles and our mistakes, that you see us as pure and holy because we have received the blood of Christ poured over us. Bless us as we receive and experience anew your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Father, we give you this day and we give you our praise. We offer to you ourselves thankful that you first offered yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen.